today's news.
Hello, welcome to Old News, the programme and podcast which looks at news stories of the day through the papers of yesterday. Well, winds, gale force winds. Not a strange event on the Isle of Man, certainly in recent months. And you might or might not be surprised to hear, that has been the case for quite a few years. 100 or more, probably several hundred. But how did we deal with them? Well, it seems to have changed a little bit. If we look up gale force winds and stormy weather, we'll go back to 1907 in the Mona's Herald, Wednesday, February the 27th. The wind from 7 o'clock on Tuesday evening last, we read, till after daylight on Thursday morning was the stormiest of the winter. At times it was hurricane in force. The direction at first was southwest, but quickly changed to northwest and remained steady at that point throughout Thursday. The mail steamers had terrific passages both ways. They went, of course. On Tuesday evening, the Douglas made a good inward passage, the sea being on her best bearing, the shoulder. On her outward passage on Wednesday, she had the wind dead astern, but the terrible sea at the bar did not allow her to reach the stage without a severe buffeting. The good old Fenella bore the brunt of Wednesday's southwester. She left to time at 11:30, despite the hurricane force wind, and did not reach the Victoria Pier till 8:05. Oh, my Lord. A passage of 8 hours, 35 minutes. This is the longest passage for very many years, exceeding by 30 minutes that of the furious storm of December last, when she carried away her wheelhouse. Throughout the passage, the wind was of gale force, and at times it had hurricane power. Splendid seaboat though she is, in order to ease her in the terrible sea which was dead ahead on her true course, Captain Farragher made several long tacks in order to get her shoulder to the waves. There were many people on the pier at 5:30 awaiting her arrival, and some of those stood the biting blast till she drew up to the pier. They were made of sterner stuff in those days. The post had to go, as did the boats. Regardless, brave men and women. We go to the Ramsey Courier, Friday, October the 19th, 1934. Weekend stormy weather, Ramsey steamer held up, we hear. The island was visited by a storm of considerable severity at the weekend, with wild showers of rain and hail, lightning and wind reaching gale force. Sunday was a rough day, and on Sunday night the full force of the gale was felt. Fortunately, however, but little damage is reported in this part of the island beyond the usual broken branches of trees and fallen slates. On the sea, shipping had a most unpleasant and hazardous time. The Ramsey Bay steamer Ben May was to have left Liverpool with Sunday newspapers early on Sunday morning, and she did actually get into the river and was heading for the bar, but the force of the storm was such that she was compelled to return and remain at anchor until conditions were more favourable. The Russian Castle, which took the midnight sailing to Liverpool on Sunday night, made a good passage with the wind behind her and arrived in Liverpool at 5:45 a.m. She took the morning sailing to Douglas and, leaving at 11:20, reached the bar at 12:40 and had to travel at reduced speed to Douglas in the face of a strong northwest wind. She did not arrive in Douglas until 5:20 p.m. and consequently the mails and papers were 2 hours late in being delivered. 1939 in the Peel City Guardian, Saturday, January the 21st. A storm causes blackout in the north, we read. Gales and heavy rain have been the order over the weekend. Nothing's changed there then. The rain commenced on Saturday afternoon with fog and a southeasterly breeze, and both wind and rain increased towards evening, and during the night the wind increased to gale force. So bad was the weather at Douglas that the Mona's Isle, which arrived from Liverpool, had, after landing passengers etc., to leave for shelter off Port Erin, and later, when the wind shifted to southwest, had to proceed to Ramsey, proceeding to Douglas to take the sailing to Liverpool on Monday. The Peveril left Liverpool at midnight on Saturday and had a bad passage, but reached Douglas around 7 on Sunday morning. The storm on Saturday night caused the northern portion of the island to be in darkness for some time. The blackout occurred just before 11 p.m. The current was restored to Ramsey after about a 40-minute interval. Laxey was only without electricity for 12 minutes, Balaff 20 minutes. Michael was without current until Sunday morning, when the wires which were blown down were repaired. 9 hours in the gale, we read in the Examiner of Friday, November the 30th, 1951. The Mona's Queen, on a regular passenger route from Liverpool to the island on Wednesday, encountered a very strong wind at gale force and, after leaving the Prince's Landing stage on time, at 10:45 a.m, was next reported to be 25 miles from the Bart lightship at 4 o'clock, travelling dead slow. Over 4 hours later, she arrived at Douglas, and the morning papers reached Douglas householders around 9 p.m. Better late than never, I suppose. The Conister, loaded and ready to sail on Tuesday night, was held in port owing to bad weather and left Douglas at noon yesterday. Ronaldsway Airport Meteorological Office reported a wind of gale force 60 miles an hour all day. But still they went, 1951. The Examiner, Friday, February the 8th, 1957. A force 9 storm sweeps the island, a trail of damage, a gale-force wind accompanied by heavy rain, which included the island in its path across the Irish Sea on Monday, left a trail of destruction in its wake. Smashed walls, fallen chimney stacks, twisted television aerials, broken windows and slates stripped from roofs. Electricity and telephone services were also affected. In Douglas on the Glen Crutchery Road, a large branch crashed across the roadway. Another branch blew off a tree in Derby Square, damaged the park wall and railings. People passing at the time escaped serious injury as the large limb hit the wall. The wind, which was recorded as being force 9, blew a chimney stack off number 1 Woodburn Square. 3 windows of Cretney's grocery shop on the North Quay were blown in, taking the full force of the wind which was blowing in from the foam-lashed sea. As the wind subsided on Tuesday morning, the streets of Douglas were littered with slates and masonry torn off by the vicious storm, and on rooftops television aerials were twisted and broken. 1957, that was. Also in 1957, in the Times, Friday, September the 27th, we read that weather cuts the oat crop by a third. Disastrous, but for combine harvesters. The island's grain yield has been slashed by a third as a result of the vicious run of gale-force winds and driving rain, which has battered the crop into a black, sodden mass. Also affected will be the winter feeding of animals, whose principal diet comes from this source. More cheerful news is that the root crops are generally pretty good and grass is very good. But the potato position is gloomy, as many of the ridges are underwater. From different parts of the island, it is reported that the harvest is mostly in, but the yield is down by 30%. There are still pockets lying uncut or rotting in the fields. If it hadn't been for the combine harvesters, the position would have been disastrous, it was stated by one agriculturalist, who reckoned less than half would have been saved without them. That's 1957. Sounds quite recent, really, doesn't it? Staying with 1957 in the Times, Friday, September the 27th, behind the scenes with Trooper, whoever Trooper was. Maybe it was Terry Kringle. Who knows? He did an awful lot. The calendar says autumn, but the gale force winds, raging seas and driving rain proclaim winter. The surest sign that the summer is officially over is the reopening of local stage activities, however. Yes, all the groups starting their rehearsals. This week, the musical and dramatic societies are beginning their rehearsals with the promise of an entertaining season ahead. On this curtain up, good wishes for happy practising and many full houses may be the reward for your labours. White Horse Inn, the Manx Operatic Society, were certainly put through their paces at the opening rehearsal in the Falcon Hotel. New musical director Bill Owen acknowledged his welcome, promised hard work and showed he meant it by taking his coat off and keeping the company hard at it until they'd gone through the entire rousing score. Producer Nora Moore enjoyed a sing with the members and is busy working out dialogue and songs for the auditions in November. The Choral Union begin rehearsals in St George's Hall next Monday. At a committee meeting this week, they appointed Lillian Corran of Laxey as accompanist. Those were the days, weren't they? Rehearsals, never mind the shows, got into the papers. And in 1959 in the Times, Friday, November the 13th, 1959, we read that gale holds up planes and steamer. Gale force winds up to 80 miles an hour during the night have once again disrupted sea and air traffic to and from the island. The morning steamer couldn't possibly get away from the harbour in these conditions, stated a spokesman of the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company, and reports from Ronaldsway were that aircraft movements were being delayed by the high winds. Yesterday, 2 planes bound for Belfast, one from Liverpool, the other from Manchester, had to be diverted from Belfast to Ronaldsway because of the weather. The plane from London was held up at London Airport. The gale caused its usual trail of havoc throughout the island, smashed windows, slates and chimneys off houses, and Church Road Braddon was blocked to traffic earlier this morning by two trees blown across the road. And finally, in the Green Final, always a great name for a paper, that, Saturday, June the 6th, 1962. Storm blamed for collision, we read. Sea spray whipped across Douglas Promenade by a gale-force wind was the reason it was alleged a taxi driver with a 40-year clean driving record collided with a stationary vehicle. This was told at Hythe Bailiffs Court on Friday when William James Quirk of 7 Osborne Grove in Douglas was fined £3 with 4 shillings costs for careless driving. Seems a bit unfair. You could be completely blinded, couldn't you, in those conditions? Hopefully everyone was all right. Well, yes. Summer, winter, spring, autumn. Doesn't seem to make any odds. There's always wind and rain somewhere on the Isle of Man, it seems. You can get it just as likely in July as you can in February. Whichever way you look at it, it's old news. Until next week, cheerio. You're gonna be yesterday's news.